We'll say for Parshas Shoftim, I want to talk to you about a concept called Horasha. Now, this concept Horasha, it's a sugya in Masechta Yevamos. It has to do with the power, the authority of a Navi. We know that a Navi has the ability to transmit the word of Hashem, but on the other hand, the other extreme, and we're going to try to find the middle ground. The Navi, Ein Navi Rashoi L'Chadish Dover, meaning Halacha is not given to Nevi'im. And that's called Lova Shamayim. The Torah was given to us, to man, and we interpret the Torah. The Navi doesn't have any power to interpret the Torah. However, between the two polar extremes, you know, the absolute power of the Navi, and we have to have faith in the Navi, Nevu is one of the 13 principles of the faith of the Rambam, and the other extreme that the Navi can't touch us as far as Halacha is concerned, that's outside of his bounds, that belongs to the Sanhedrin Agdola, not to the Navi. Right in the middle, we have a concept called Horasha. And this concept of Horasha is derived from our parasha here in Shoftim. So in order to gradually lead us into an appreciation of what Horasha is, let me recommend that first we read the pasuk. Okay? It's always good to start with the Chimish, as they say. Navi mikirbucha me'achecha kamoni yakim lecha Hashem Elokecha. In other words, Hashem promises through Moshe that there will be other Nevi'im, kamoni, that they will have the same status as Moshe, and Elav Tishmun. Now, Elav Tishmun, we have to oblige, we have to comply with the mandate of the Navi. And in comparing a Navi in the future down the line to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah is really investing a great deal of authority in the Navi himself. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu is not only a Navi, he's the Navi who gives us Torah. Every word of his Nevuah, once it's recorded and incorporated into the Torah, is L'netzach Netzachim, that determines the halacha for all generations. And now we're taking a Navi, and the Torah is saying, Elav Tishmun, we have a mitzvah to listen to him, and he's like Moshe Rabbeinu. So look, if you just want to say that he has a power of a Navi, and that's the end, meaning he could transmit the word of Hashem, but nothing beyond that. Okay, then the Torah didn't have to say Kamoni, he's like Moshe Rabbeinu. The extra yards that we get from comparing it to Moshe Rabbeinu would seem to imply that the Navi has some sort of legislative power. He's not just transmitting the word of God, but he's also telling us how to live our lives. And the problem is going to be obvious. How do we reconcile that with the principle of Lo Bashamayim? The Torah was given to man. We can't change the Torah. We can't alter the Torah. And the answer to this question, this middle of the road kind of thing, where the Navi has powers that exceed beyond those of a Navi, and it penetrates into the area of legislation, is given by the Sugya in Masechta Yevamos. Now, I would have normally put on the page the Sugya Masechta Yevamos. That's my style. But in this case, I put on the page the Torah Tmima. Why? Because I'm trying, you know, again, pardon the phrase, but I'm trying to teach you fellas how to learn Chumash. And when you learn Chumash, as we saw last time, you take a look at Rashi, you take a look at the Ramban, then you look at the Mefarshim of Rashi. Last time, you remember, we saw the Mizrahi, we saw the Gerari of the Maral, we looked at the Taz, the Divrei David, all the great giants, what I call the super commentaries on Rashi. That's what we did on Sunday. Today I want to point out to you, you know, and every day, Mirtz Shem, when we learn Chumash, I'd like to point out to you another source. Those sources that we mentioned on Tuesday, Rashi, Ramban, and all the commentaries, so if those are focused on what I call parshanut, meaning pshuto shel mikra, how to understand the mikra. The Torah Tmima is a whole different world. The Torah Tmima gives us halacha, and now we're a little bit off parshanut, but the beauty of the Torah Tmima is that he goes a step further. He tries to show you how the halacha relates to the pasuk itself. You know, we have two Torahs. We have the Torah Shemitzav and the Torah Shemaltah. There are a number of mefarshim over the course of Jewish history that set their spets as trying to find the connection between the two Torahs. Trying to show you, this was the Gaon Mivilna was absolutely just infinite in this area, to show you how we can see in the words of the Torah so many different things. So what is this legislative power invested in the Navi? How can the Navi tell me anything about how I should live my life? For that we have Torah. We have Halach. That's not the purview of the Navi. It's if I can give you a mashal, imagine if the judiciary, the Supreme Court, would issue a new law. Can the Supreme Court issue law? That belongs to the legislative. That doesn't belong to the judiciary. So where is it that Elov Tishmun, this mitzvah in our parasha, teaches you that you've got to listen to the Navi and oblige him even in an area of Allah? That's called Horosha. So let's look at the Gemara in Masech the Yavams. Afilu omer lecha avar al achas mi mitzvah ator. Mind-boggling. The Navi has the authority to command us to violate a mitzvah of the Torah. Kigon! And the Gemara Yevamos wants to prove this, that this actually happened in Jewish history. We're going to soon see that it happened twice in Jewish history. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the Gemara focuses on the second time it happened and drops the first time. Okay, but in any event, in the second time, which is in Malachim, say from Malachim, we have the story of Eliyahu Bar HaKarma. Now, does anybody know what law in the Torah Eliyahu violated? Bring the sacrifice where, Avraham? Yeah, exactly. Outside the Beis HaMikdash. That you're not allowed to do. We'll soon see in the Psukim, not here, but in Parshas Re'eh that we read 2 weeks, we're going to see that the Torah prohibits us from bringing a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there was a period of time called Heter Bamos, but that didn't apply during the 360-odd years that Shiloh was stood, because Shiloh was basically a Beis HaMikdash, and there was no Heter Bamos. In fact, after David HaMelech designated the area, where you remember he bought from Havusi, he bought an area for the Beis HaMikdash, at that point in time, what was his name?
The Granos.
From that moment on, there was an Iser Bamos. In any event, Eliyahu told us, we're going to bring a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash and violate an Iser. Does that mean that a Navi could tell me, you know what, you think there's 613 mitzvahs? Let's drop a few here. One here, one there. So if you take a look at the Gemara adds two words. Lefisha. Lefisha means it has to be on a momentary, temporary basis. For a Navi to come along, as we'll soon see in the Rambam, and tell us, minus one mitzvah, let's just scratch it on one mitzvah, drop it.
Temporary.
Then we put him to death. Could you imagine? We put such a Navi to death. But if he tells you on a temporary basis, Litzarach Hashem, there's something pressing and urgent now, and we have to violate the law of the Torah, we listen to the Navi. So if I were to ask you, under what circumstances does the halacha allow us to violate an Iser Torah? Your first answer should be v'chai b'hem, namely what? Pikuach nefesh, for the sake of life. The second answer should be what's called essay docha losasa. Sometimes for the sake of an essay, we can violate a losasa. But that is it. Those are the only two circumstances in which the Torah, the halacha, allows you to violate a losasa. Now we have number three. It's not just pikuach nefesh, it's not just essay docha losasa, it's also elav tishmun, the mitzvah to listen to the Navi, lefisha. And look at the way the Rambam codifies this in Hilchas Yisod HaTorah. He dedicates an entire chapter, Perek Tes, of Hilchas Yisod HaTorah, to this subject of the authority of the Navi to tell us to violate the Torah law.
But what he did, even though he violated the Torah, it was for Kudus Asashim.
Good. So that's the question. Can you violate the Torah law for the sake of the Torah? And there's one sugi at the end of Yuma. I don't know. I know, Jeremy, you were with me. Amram, you were here too. You remember when we learned a little of the 8th parak of Yuma? Do you remember that? You may remember. It was like a year ago. Who can remember, right? Who remembers yesterday? Let alone a year ago. But what we learned over there was the sugi of Chil Shabbos for the sake of a chole. And Shmuel is very famous for saying, Chalel alav Shabbos achas, kidei sheyishmar Shabbos esharei. So there may be, George, like you say, a trade-off. And maybe what Eliyahu did at the Har HaKarmel was a kind of a trade-off. But before we get to that, let's just see a few very important points in the Rambam. And if you happen to have a pen and you want to write notes here, there are four conditions that the Rambam sets up for when the Navi has the authority to tell us to violate the Torah. Four conditions. In Halacha Aleph, the Rambam goes on to say that he presents a thesis, the Torah is not meant to be changed, it's not meant to be altered, it cannot be altered, it's eternal, and so forth and so on. Then in Halacha Beis, he says the following, in Cain, Lama, Nemar B'Torah, Navi, Akim Lachem, Mikerev Achechem Kamocha. And then he doesn't quote the last two words in that pasuk from our parsha, namely Elov Tishmu. He says, Lo Lasos Dasuba. The Navi is not being given authority to change the religion itself. El Litzavos al Divrei Torah, Ulahazir Ha'am Shalo Yavro Leha. It's actually, this is the Shetach, this is the territory of the Navi. He's got to be the Mashgiach, so to speak, of the generation, you know, to chastise us and castigate us if we're violating the Torah. He has to give us Chizuk. But that's in Halacha Beis. Then you fast forward to Halacha Gimel. And the Rambam says, "Im yomar lecha hanavi avar al divrei Torah." What if the Navi tells you to violate the Torah law? That's not what we saw in Halacha Beis. Halacha Beis, he was telling you to be strong and not to succumb to any temptations and observe the Torah. Now he's saying, no, the Navi is telling you to violate the Torah. And the Rambam again, like the Gemara in Yevamos, gives the case. You see, I want to show you something. There's an agenda here. I mean, if you saw it in the Gemara, you would notice it and you would wonder why the Gemara makes all this, and why all the emphasis on the Tara Rama ben Eliyahu Baharakar. But, okay, it's a Gemara. The Gemara wanted to give an example. But when the Rambam quotes it, you see that there's some focus here on Eliyahu Baharakam. David?
But the people themselves weren't making the Baba Eliyahu, was going to make it better, because he was trying to make a point.
And he didn't tell the people.
Right, but if you remember in the parsha, it says that the Bnei Yisrael had to bring the carbon. Yeah, he may have done at the end of the day the actual haktorah, but Bnei Yisrael were part of this. And how could a Navi do that? Even when he himself violates the Torah law, how is that acceptable? And the Rambam says there are four conditions that have to be met. The Rambam says, Shmalo. Now, one condition is here. Chutz me'avodas kochavim. Watch this. If the Navi tells you to violate avodas kochavim, just for today, Rav Osai, it's Tuesday, you know, let's just worship Baal, you know, just for a day or so. That's it. One day. That's all I'm asking of you. Oh no, you got to get rid of such a Navi. So the first condition is that it absolutely cannot touch on what? On avodas kochavim. Number two. The second condition the Ram requires that it's got to be on a temporary basis. Can go to Eliyahu Baruch again. The third time we sing Eliyahu Baruch Karam. Shehikruv Ola B'chutz Yushalayim Hanivcheres Lekach, meaning it's exclusive, it's got to be Yushalayim. V'amakruv B'chutz Chayiv Kares. Okay, that's Machlokas Tanoim, but we pass in Shchut Eichutz and Nisa Kares. And number three, Umipneshu Navi. What the Rambam means by Pneshu Navi is what we call in Halacha Muchzok Shu Navi. Okay, that's the third condition. So yeah, let's go over the three conditions. George, let's go slowly. Just I want to get the four conditions of the Rambam. So again, condition number one is he tells you to violate an Isur, but not Avodah Zarah. Number two, it's got to be Lefi Shah. Number three, it has to be Muchzok Shehu Navi. Correct? Umipneshu Navi, Mitzvah Lishmolo, the Gamba Zenemar Elov Tishmu'un. Okay, but now we get to the fourth condition. So Elov Tishmu'un. We have to listen to it. Lefi Shah, says the Rambam. The Ilu Shalu Eseliyov Yomelo Heich Nakar Mashikosim B'Torah. And here the Ram quotes Pasuk Rei Pen Talo Lasechem Chol Mokum. That's the source for the Isur Shchita outside Yerushalayim. Hoya Omer, he would have responded Elio, Lo Nemro Amakruv B'Chutzli Olam Chayiv Kares Moshe Tziva Moshe. Meaning, if somebody were to completely undermine the tzivui of Moshe Rabbeinu and say, we'll always violate this law, we'll get rid of this law, you know, scratch it, it's outmoded. That would be, Avlani Makruv Hayom B'Chutz only on a temporary basis. And not only that, Bidvar Hashem, and here I want you to underline, Kidelahachish Nevi Halal. What are those four words parallel to in the Gemara that we saw in Yevamos? No, very often what you do when you learn the Rambam, it's a lot of fun. You go back to the Gemara and you see how the Rambam writes up the Gemara, because people don't realize the Rambam is the greatest Mefarish on the Gemara, second to Rashi. What is the Rambam saying about this Gemara? The Gemara says it's allowed what? The Gemara says Lefi Shah. The Rambam expands this. You know what Lefi Shah means? Kidei Lahachish Nevi Abal. What does the Rambam mean?
The other one is no good.
Correct, but conceptually, what does it mean? You know, can you abstract it?
For that particular moment in time.
Correct, there's a pressing, urgent need. And if we don't address that need, forget it. Now. It's urgent, it's immediate. The Nevi Abal are taking over. Klal Yisrael is being swept away by the Nevi Abal. The Gemara talks about thousands and thousands of Jews who are worshipping Baal. That's the fourth condition. It's not just Eliyahu and Navi. Lavar lefisha mitzvah lishmol, and we have to listen to them. However, im amru shadover nekar liolam, if he wants to remove a mitzvah of the Torah, he says no more tzitzis. Get rid of tzitzis. Nevela, forget about nevela. We'll eat nevela. Okay, is misaso bechenik? We put him to death with this with chenik. There's a whole perek in Sanhedrin called Eluhena Nichnokim. One of them is a Navi Sheker. This is a Navi Sheker. He's telling you that we have to cut down a mitzvah and completely rid of it. Fine. And the Raman Alocha, hey, if you fast forward, emphasizes Bavodas Kochavim, ain't Shomim Lo Afil Lefisha. If he tells you to worship Bavodas Zor for this day, for this hour, oh no, put him to death. Afilu Asa also Sim Mofsim Gedolim. He's Mochzak. He can get up there on stage and I don't know what he does. Yeah, he walks on water. I don't know what he does, right? Put him to death, says the Rambam. V'yomer Shashem tzivo shetavet avodas kom hayom bilvad, or b'shoa zu bilvad, 1 hour. Come on, guys, don't be stingy. 1 hour, give me 1 hour of avodas zorah. Come on, let's try it out. You know what I mean? Is Hareza Dibra Sar Hashem, Valze Dibra Akosim Lo Sishval Dibra Novi Ahu, and you have to put him to death. Fine. So we have the four conditions of the Rambam. Now, Rabosai, I want to ask you the following question. In the next source, which is next to last on your page, I quoted to you the pasuk that legislates an Isur of Shchut Echutz. The Torah says back in Parashas Re'eh, Yisham Lucha Pentala Losecha B'chol Mokom Asher Tira, Ki Im B'Mokom Asher Yivcha Hashem B'Yachad Sharecha, Sham Tala Losecha, Sham Tase, Kol Asher Anochi Metzav. Good. Now, Rabosai, I'd like to introduce new commentaries on the Torah. When I say new, I don't mean new, but maybe it's new to you, or even if it's not new to you, maybe you're not used to looking into these commentaries. And this is Rav Meir Simcha Midvinsk, the Meshech Chacham. Now, let me give you a little background, Lefi Ani Yizdaiti, what the Meshech Chacham is bothered by. The episode of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel is not the only time that a Navi violates a mitzvah min HaTorah based on the word of Hashem on a temporary basis. In fact, Eliyahu HaKarmel is not even the first time. There's a time before that. And if you fast forward to the second side of your page, you'll see in Shoftim, which of course comes before Malachim, we're talking about Gidon. You remember Gidon? Anybody here have any friends named Gidon? Okay, Gidon was an interesting character, but be that as it may, he had a certain level of Nevuah, not exactly a full-fledged Navi. You know, Nevuah divides up into many different categories, very complicated sugya, but in any event, he had Nevuah through a Malach. The Rambam Bar Nevuchim, by the way, is of the opinion that every Navi, with the exception of Moshe, gets his Nevuah through a Malach. Okay, fine. That's a whole machlok between the Rambam and the Ramban. Not for us. That's a sugya unto itself. But be that as it may, what happens in Shoftim? The Torah says that Hashem, through a Malach, tells Gidon, Ubanisa Mizbeach Hashem Elokech Al Rosh HaMa'oz HaZeb HaMarocha. Now keep in mind, Gidon is not a Kohen. Not only that, this Mizbeach is not in Yerushalayim. It's outside.
It's on Yerushalayim Day.
Yeah, okay. But it gets even more complicated. Do you know what he uses? Hashem tells him, you know what you should use for wood to burn the fire on this Mizbeach? Atzei Asherah. The Atzei Asherah are Osir Banah. Vayika Gidon Asar Anoshim. He gathers together 10 of his servants. And Vayas Kashedibra Lov Hashem. The Yerushalmi says, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Sheva Averos. Gidon violated seven Averos. Beparoshal Gidon, Avonim Psulos, he used Avonim that you're not allowed to use for the Mizbeach, and these are all Sugis and Zvakim that you have to learn. Atzi Ashera, he used Mukta, he used Neva, stuff that was worshipped. He did it Balila, there's no Akrov of Balila. He was a Zari, he was not a Kohen. Vizir Bavan is outside of the Mishkan. In other words, whereas Eliyahu violates only one Avera, if I could comment like this, Gidon violates seven Averas. And the Torah speaks, the Tanakh speaks about to the praise of Gidon, that it was okay because he listened to the word of Hashem. I think, again, this is my own opinion, that the Meshech Chochmah here in Parshas Shoftim is trying to figure out why all the hullabaloo, why all the Tararam about Eliyahu Barakarmel? What about Gidon?
Could it be because one did it in public and one did it in private?
Excellent, Amram, you're on the ball. But before we get to your pshat, let's see what the Meshech Chochmah says, okay? The Meshech Chochmah says on the parsha of, right, the parsha of Pentala or Sepulchal Mokom, right, it has to be B'mokom HaShe'ivcha Hashem, that's back in Re'eh. You see, I would have been happier if the Meshech Chochmah would have attached his comment here in Parashat Shoftim. But the Meshech Chochmah is interested in finding the first time that the Torah prohibits you to bring a korban on a bama. That's where he's going to ask the question about, you know, the Navi who brings a korban in a bama. And he says the following, Pirshu B'Yushalmi, Al Pi Adibur Kelio Anavi Barakarma. That when the Torah says he shamalucha pentala lasech b'chol makom, etc., etc., the Torah is implying that there is an exception to the rule. And Yushalmi explains, embellishes that the exception to the rule is Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel. Again, Rabbi will say, what? How many times have we seen Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel in Chazal? You know, like if I was writing a footnote here, I would say, hey, what about Gidon? Like, you know, I'm the Gidon, you know, club here. You know, I vouch for Gidon. He says the following, Bir ki l'chol mitzvah l'horasha. Please underline those words, l'horasha. Horasha means there's something urgent that has to be addressed immediately. Is mitzvah l'shmo l'navi. With the only exception of Avodah Zarah, which even l'tzarch shah, ein shomim v'navi, you must be put to navi to death, ki dibur sara. V'hine, oh, look at this. Mind boggling. The Meshech Chochmah asks what I call timely the Krah. You know, this is a whole controversy where we have the right to try to interpret why the Torah legislated a certain thing. The Meshech Chochmah wants to take a stab. Why is it that the Torah prohibited us from bringing Karbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash? What would have been your natural answer, your knee-jerk response? Because it undermines what?
The
Beis HaMikdash, the centrality of the Beis HaMikdash. The Meshech Chochmah Meir Simcha Mitvinsk has a whole other approach. He says, "Tam shel kodshim mechutz pirish akosim v'parshas achrimos." You have to go back, you know, rewind back to Vayikra. And what does it say in Vayikra? It says, "Lo yizbechu odes zivcheim l'seirim." The idol worshippers used to bring their karbanos to the Seirim. Seirim is a reference to the powers of evil, the forces of darkness. Okay. Kimaimer Bereshis Rabba, fine. He goes on and says that the reason why the Torah wants us to focus on Yerushalayim, and we can't let every, you know, Kol Dichvin, every person come along, build his own, you know, his own private Beis HaMikdash, bring his own karban, because at the end of the day, you know what's going to happen? At the end of the day, they're going to come to worship Avodah Zarah and bring these karbanos for Avodah Zarah. Again, we don't have time to go through all the Meshech Chochmah, but if you get a chance, take a look. Says the Meshech Chochmah at the end of the first paragraph, what's the Horash show over here? Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel is facing what problem? What's rampant?
Avodah Zarah.
And if he's facing Avodah Zarah, then paradoxically, the worst thing to do is to violate the Issur of Shchut Eichutz. That's the last thing you want to do. Because the whole reason, the raison d'etre for Shchut Eichutz is because of Avodah Zarah. Im Loki the Amar al Zebi Yevamis leMigdar Milsa Shiny. The Gemara says that he had to do this because of Migdar Milsa to protect us from Avodah Zarah. He says, "Zeu dafka lemigdar milsa davodah zara." You know what the chiddush of Eliyahu Barakarabel is? True, the Navi Litzorach Hashah is allowed to command us to violate a law in the Torah, but with one exception. Which exception? What's beyond the pale of the authority of the Navi? Avodah Zarah. Now the Eliyahu Navi Pilei Plon, what a chiddush. He's going to tell us to violate Avodah Zarah. Not exactly Avodah Zarah, but something that schmecks of Avodah Zarah. If I could use the term the Gemara calls it, Mishum Reach Avodah Zarah. You know, it has the smell of Avodah Zarah. You know, like we talk about Avak Lashon Hara. You know, this is Avak Avodah Zarah. And through Eliyahu's tremendous achievement, Klal Yisrael declares Hashem Hu Elokim. It was an amazing success. And they rejected the Kohanim of Baal. And all this was done, says Rav Meir Simcha, on a violation that really categorically belongs to this classification called Avodah Zarah. That's the Chiddush of Eliyahu Barakar. Why? Because Chalel Alav Shabbos Harbei, this is Gemara at the end of Yuma, it's also in Shabbos, Kidei Sheyishmu Shabbos is Harbei. He says the following. Oddly enough, you can violate a quasi Avodah Zarah Avera for the sake of protecting us from Avodah Zarah. That's the chiddush of Eliyahu Baharei Karmel. Lemigdar milsa davera cheres lo hayu rishayim rashayim lishma lenavi lakrif bama. Supposing Eliyahu Hanavi would have told us, you know what? We have to be makriv on a bama. You know why? Because the people are rampantly violating the Shabbos. Is he allowed to do that? No authority. He has no authority to tell us shkutei chutz, because shkutei chutz really belongs to the category of Avodah Zarah.
And the chiddush of the Rebbe Meir Simcha.
I didn't see it anywhere else.
Right.
Unbelievable chiddush of Rebbe Meir Simcha.
The Rambam Bichura doesn't hold that. For any mitzvah which you want to uphold, or with any horacha which was not defined, you could do a thing like this.
What I want to say, Rabbi, is that let's take the Rebbe Meir Simcha and put it into the Rambam. I'd like to put it into the Rambam. Why do I want to put it into the Rambam? Because the Pella is, why did the Rambam quote Eliyahu Baharei Karmel? The Rambam is not a historian. He's not here to teach me history. He's not a Tanakh teacher. He's setting up halachas. When does Elof Tishman apply? When does it not? And yet the Rambam twice, as we saw, insists that we understand Eliyahu Baharei Karmel. There must be some chiddush in Eliyahu Baharei Karmel. And I think the chiddush of Eliyahu Baharei Karmel is right here in Rav Meir Simcha's understanding of the nature of the Isser of Shchutei Chutz to be makriv a korban outside the Mizbeach. Since it's because the Torah wants to make us carefully distant from Avodah Zarah, in other words, it's like the Torah created a siag, a protection, to keep us far away, distance from Avodah Zarah, then if not Eliyahu Baharei Karmel, I would have said it's absolutely forbidden. True, a Navi could tell me to violate Nevela or Lefishah if there's something pressing, you know, we got to eat this Nevela right now, but he can't tell me to bring a carbon chutz because that's Shmeks of Avodah Zarah and that's outside of his purview. Comes along Eliyahu Baharei Karmel with an unbelievable chiddush that for the sake of protecting us from Avodah Zarah, we're allowed to violate Avodah Zarah. Again, Lefishah. Not Avodah Zarah Mamash. Again, I don't think. Don't misunderstand. Rav Meir Simcha is not going as far as to say that a Navi can come along and say, bow down to an idol, Lefishah. No. But at least if it's an Avera, which has the complexion and the goal, the objective is to protect us from Avodah Zarah, and he's doing it for the sake of protecting us from Avodah Zarah, that neutralizes the Avodah Zarah element of Shchutei Chutz. But if, on the other hand, he wants us to bring a karban outside of the Migdash and violate Shom Talal Osecha for the sake of another mitzvah to protect us from another violation, not from Avodah Zarah, that's not called Migdar Milsa. And if you take a look at the end of this paragraph, Rav Meir Simcha points out, Ukmo Shahaya, what happened at the time of Eliyahu? What was his goal? L'Migdar Milsa Avodah Zarah. You can violate a lav in the Torah on a temporary basis that's related to Avodah Zarah if it's a Migdar Milsa to protect us from Avodah Zarah itself. And I want to show you something fascinating. You remember we saw in the case of Gidon that Gidon violated how many Averis?
Seven
Averis, right? That's pretty impressive. That's an impressive record. Take a look at the Ralbag. You know, the Ralbag is known as a Pshuto Shomikra guy. On Torah, it's very hard. I would not necessarily encourage you, but on Tanakh, he's phenomenal. The Ralbag and the Radaka, the two Gdolim on Tanakh. Says the Ralbag on the Parsha of Gidon, Ratzalomar, the Mokom Hamisudarbo, Sheyuchal Lihibonos Bo Mizbeach, Vitziva Sheyakar of Bo Par Hahula Kel, Vialeu Ola Viatse Ashera, Vikol Zehoya Horosha. The Malach gave a Nevuah, transmitted to Gidon as a Horosha, to violate all these Isurim. Kamosha Amar Zal, referring to the Yerushalmi, ki ze nasa bizar ubechutz belayel batzi ashera, vihine osa me'amukzel avodus glilim karbon, something that was set and designated for idol worship, he made it into a karbon Hashem Yisbarach, for the sake of Hashem. Do you hear what's going on over here? He's taking atzei asherah, he's taking muktzel avodah zarah, and he's bringing it and using it as a karbon. Why? Because it's Lashem. Ki yireh shebasoso hepech hamuna shegadal ba tashlim lo hatzolah v'atzloch v'hechech mimashem choshev avodah zarah. He's got to take the avodah zarah, and in order to successfully undermine the avodah zarah, he's got to utilize it for the exact opposite of avodah zarah. What was the kavana of Gidon?
To who?
To the people of Israel.
So what's the nafka mina between him and him?
So now we get to Amram's point. So now we ask the question. So wait a second. Why all the emphasis on Eliyahu Bar Carmel? If the chiddush of Eliyahu Bar Carmel is migdar mil supplies, even to a quasi avodah zarah isur, like what? Shchutei chutz. Kal v'chomer, look at the case of Gidon, which is earlier than Eliyahu HaNavi. Gidon is violating Isuri Avodah Zarah. He's telling you to take Atzei Asherah. He's telling you to take Muktzel Avodah Zarah. And all this he's doing, Chutz, and as a Zar, and all these Averis. And why, says the Ralbag? Because he wants to take the Hepech Amunah and use it to demonstrate their Amunah B'Hashem Yisbar. That's
whom?
An amazing.
To whom?
I don't know. That's what we're getting to. That's what we're getting to in Amram. So again, Rabosai, on the one hand, wait a minute, just let's make I want to make a summary here, a scorecard of where we're holding now. A scorecard, right? On the one hand, I love this Ralbag, and I think if Ramir Simchum Bidvinsk was here in the room, he would be clapping for joy for this Ralbag, because the Ralbag is 9 centuries before the Ramei Simcha, and you see that the Ralbag is also learning, like Ramei Simcha, that the Migdar Milsa, the protection here against Avodah Zarah, allows you to violate some sort of Isurim that are quasi Avodah Zarah Isurim, they're related to Avodah Zarah. Again, not Avodah Zarah Mamish, we're not bowing down to this. So in that sense, the Ralbag is very good, very exciting for Ramei Simcha. But on the other hand, Hajra Kusha Leduchta. Now that the Ralbag has told us that the goal of Gidon, as we saw in Eliyahu HaNavi, but before Eliyahu HaNavi, is to take these things, which are quasi Avodah Zarah Isurim, and use them, faker, the opposite, to prove and to demonstrate the belief, the Amun in Hashem Yisparah. And that's what Migdar Mils is. So why all the Tairam and Eliyahu HaNavi? Well, what's the big chiddush? Why was it so necessary for the Gemara in Yevamos and the Rambam and the Yerushalmi and the Rambam to over and over emphasize that we can listen to a Navi even for a quasi Avodah Zarah Isur, some sort of shmek of Avodah Zarah, for the sake of Migdar Milsa in order to protect us from Avodah Zarah? I don't need Eliyahu HaNavi Bar Carmel. That chiddush was already, that ground was already broken by whom? By Gidon.
Maybe Eliyahu HaNavi should have known.
So take a look at the Maratz Chais. Okay? Because this, I think, is what Amram was saying before. Are you on the same?
Yeah,
okay. He says the following. Ha, Dietzrichim, Akiris, Dorman, Torah, Migdar, Milsa, Tzorch, Shah. When is there a Chiddush that Elov Tishmud means I can violate the law of the Torah by listening to Navi as a Migdar, Milsa, Tzorch, Shah? Where do I need that chiddush? Dafka imba Navi litzavos lacherim. Only when the Navi is telling us, he's transmitting a prophecy to us, and we have to Rabosai, what was the first? Who was the first person in history who received a transmitted nevuah to violate the law of the Torah?
Avram.
Yitzchak. Avram got the nevuah himself. That's what the Maariv Chayis is going to point out. But Yitzchak didn't receive the nevuah. Yitzchak hears it from his father Avram that Hashem tells him to kill him, an act of murder. How could you violate the Isur Tzicha? That's the chiddush of Elov Tishmu. Letzavos lachem. Please underline those two words. Avalim boha dibra lahanavi. If I could add one word, atzmo. I'm adding a word to the text. B'davashin ogeh Elov bilvad v'ein zarif lito. There's no one around. Again, Gidon gets scared of 10 of his avodim. I don't even know if they were Jews. It's not clear. Maybe they were having Kanani. I don't know. Chayev lishma lasus miyad. Forget about Migdur Milsa, says the Ratz Chayim. I don't have to declare, oh, Migdur Milsa, check off all the tanaim, all the conditions, what is it, blah, blah, blah. I don't need any of that stuff. Because I got the nevuah myself. Right? You know, Noah, how long can you tread water? You know what I'm talking about? No, nobody knows what I mean.
Yeah,
you know? He's in big trouble.
Very big.
Very big. You know, he's mamish. I was a big fan of his, you know. It's, what? No, I will talk about it later. I mean, you're South African, so you'll probably appreciate what I have to say. Because, but anyway, he had this whole thing about Noah, you know, like Noah, like who's talking to me here, you know? And he says, "Build me an ark." So Noah says, "What do you mean an ark?" So he says, "Well, Noah, how long can you tread water?" This became in American culture. This became very famous. You know? So if a Navi receives a direct prophecy from Hashem. He says, I don't need a chiddush of Migdum Milsum. Chayev lishma v'lasus miyad afim lo nira b'kadma Migdum Milsum. A gevaldik a chiddush of the Maariv Chayis. I don't need to enter into the gedarim of Migdum Milsum. V'raya brul l'chilik zem ishas t'san edishkom ishas t'novi muksak shani t'do temachi Yitzchak heishi shoma l'avram. I mean, the Gemara asks in Sanhedrin, how did Yitzchak listen to Avram Avinu? And the Har HaKarmel, and the answer is Muchzok Shaini. That's one of the four conditions that we had. Avram Avinu had the din of Muchzok. The Yisrael, Hechi Samchel Yo. How did the Jews, this answers your question, David, from before, how did the Jews rely on Elio Anavi? Lahakriv Bechutz Beshasisur Bomos. El Alkarchot the Navi Shemuchzok Ulamigna Milsa Chayavim Lishma. That's the Chiddush of Elov Tishmun. So again, there are two types of Nevuah. When I receive a nevuah, again, not me, but meaning when the Navi receives a nevuah, that's one thing. I don't even need a Migdum Milsa. Avram Avinu has to do what he has to do. He got the nevuah directly. Gidon had a direct nevuah, and he had to do what he has to do. The Chiddush of Elov Tishmun is when the Navi's telling me, when he's telling Klal Yisrael, when he's organizing the public to violate the Torah. Ah, that's the case of Eliyahu Bahar HaKar. No? Gishmak, no? That's why all of Chazal emphasized Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, not Gidon. Gidon was a private matter. Gidon received the Nevuah. Eliyahu was transmitting the Nevuah. He was getting everyone involved. They had to actively violate the Isur of Bama. And here the Gevaldik HaChiddush is that, and this is Rabbeinu Simcha, that even though bringing a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash is a quasi Avodah Zarah Isur, it's like a gedder for Avodah Zarah. Nevertheless, we will violate a quasi Avodah Zarah Isur Lefisha Letzorach Migdum Milsa in order to get to this point where the people of Israel will declare Hashem Hu Elokim Hashem Hu.
Okay.
Also, drop louder, Dave, if you don't mind.
It was very widespread. A lot of it was not for Avodah Zarah. It was because they just, you know, it was like a backyard thing.
Yeah, that's true. But what Simcha is arguing is that things could get out of hand. Once there's no what we call pikuach, there's no supervision.
Right, so,
you know, called dichven, it's wild, it's hefkebel. Who knows? You know, one thing leads to the other, and that's what the old Avodah Zarah were doing. They were worshiping all these dark places and all these, you know, satanic kind of things.
They were trying to get rid of the in the houses, and they thought they did, and then, you know, they would hide or be behind the door.
Even for 2 days.
They thought they had rid of it, but it was still there.
Right.
Because it was so widespread, and people just couldn't get rid of it.
Couldn't. Speak a drop louder. A drop louder, if you don't mind. Okay. We're competing with a lot of background noise. David, thanks for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you for
being on a last minute thing. I figured, why not? I know you like Chumash, so.
Is it not so much that Eliyahu told the people what to do, is that they accepted it and didn't forget to do it?
That's the pill, because Eliyahu taught this halacha of Migdar Milsa of Avodah Zarah. A Migdar Milsa of Avodah Zarah has a special category. Because he was Muksa. Only because he was Muksa. Muksa means he had a track record. If you and I would show up and say, hey, let's bring a carbon today here in Baca, they'd probably put us to death. But Eliyahu was Muksa. Muksa means he was tried and true. So therefore, all the conditions.
So where did Gideon make this thing in his backyard?
More or less, but I can't probably tell him exactly where to do it. But it's on the Marocha, which is outside of the heart.
The time of Eliyahu, the Korbanot was in Shiloh. Where were the Korbanot? Shiloh.
Well, that's not where he brought it, but at that time.
No, that's where the Shiloh had been
done. Right. That's what I remember. I have to double check that, but I'm pretty sure.
And it's always an issue.